from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there and welcome to the rewrap for Wednesday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB, and this morning, what are schools actually for? And also, are NCEA exams too tricky? And we'll try and fix Germany while we're at it. But first up, oh God, the America's Cup. How long before it actually happens do we have to talk about it?
Now, when we had Jimmy Spittle here a couple of months ago, one of his concerns was that a number of sailors weren't going to be excited about getting on board a boat that went nowhere fast, given what they just experienced in Bermuda. Well, I think we can put that one to rest, can't we? Experts also suggest, given these things are on the edge, there will be carnage. And like it or not, that's what top-level sport of this ilk is all about, the possibility that it can all go catastrophically wrong. The next trick, of course, is to have these boats be accessible enough to attract more entries. Both San Francisco and Bermuda lacked numbers. San Francisco especially, it was dreadful. But look at what we potentially have here. A boat of traditional-ish looks, in the sense it's got sailors, not cyclists. A boat capable of exceptional speed and drama. A boat of some accessibility, meaning more players. A report suggesting $1 billion in income and thousands of dollars in jobs. The Hauraki Gulf, Auckland City and the rest of the country postcarded to the world in the sort of marketing campaign no money can hope to buy. It's got it all. And it's a sport that's getting, in viewer and fan terms, as big as rugby. There are two things that get us galvanised as a nation. The Rugby World Cup and the America's Cup. And the rugby won't be back here for years, if it's ever back, in terms of hosting. But the America's Cup is here for the foreseeable, with all the downstream effects that rugby doesn't have, like infrastructure, a sailing history, and investment. This is the jackpot. And if this boat is the start of it, then this is going to be brilliant.
Am I the only one who finds it weird that we're celebrating the fact that the boats in the next America's Cup might be almost as exciting, but not quite, as the ones in the previous one were? And could we not just keep having the same ones? And should we just stop worrying about it because it's just stupid rich people riding around on boats? Anyway, apparently it's good for the economy, blah, blah.
The thing about the boats, see, the oil and grease. See, I know nothing about boats, but the oil and grease. So an oil and grease on a super yacht costs $500,000. I mean, the money in boats is incredible. I was on a boat relatively recently, and I was parked up on the boat next to another boat. And I was talking to the skipper of the boat I was on, and the boat next to us, I said, that is one beautiful boat.
And hang on, did you start the conversation by saying ahoy there?
No, I did that in the early part of the trip, and they just looked at me like I'm a land-loving idiot, so I just toned myself down on that, and I put the stripy T-shirt and my sailor's hat away. Anyway, so I said, that's a beautiful-looking boat, and it was a deep blue with lots of stainless steel, and it had a magnificent stainless steel bell up the front, and it looked like it could go anywhere in the world. It looked like one of those boats, a lot of beautiful teak and wood. Anyway, that particular boat I was looking at, which seemed to be owned by a guy who looked remarkably like Giorgio Armani. So it might well have been his boat. Anyway, the skipper of the boat I was on said to me, he said, that boat holds 500,000 litres of diesel. 500,000 litres. And work it out. And they're paying $1.20, $1.30 a litre. It costs $750,000 just to fill the thing. And then once you've filled the thing with your 500,000 litres of petrol for $750,000, you can go forever. You can drive for 9,000 kilometres.
Well, why are they not just getting it up on the foils?
It didn't look like it could go on the foils. Ah. It didn't look like one of those that could go on the foils, I tell
it's
you that.
Complicated business, this.
But
boat business.
The money in boats is just
stupid.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not a boat person, which I'm not, I look at the numbers and I just go, you've got to be kidding me. But the people are into it.
Think of aren't we supposed to say something like, think of the hip operations you could. Or something? Isn't that what people say?
No, I don't think so. I think what we're saying is that if you've got a big flash boat and you want to bring it here and park it up and get an oil and grease, come on
think
in.
Think of the school lunches you could fund.
Because Peter Busfield, I love people like Peter Busfield. He sits there on this program full of confidence. He goes, we are the best in the world and we need more of that.
I mean, really, when you think about it, nothing says I don't care about anybody else in the world. I just want to enjoy all my money that you don't have. Than a super yacht, which really has no practical purpose whatsoever. Anyway, that's just how it is, I suppose. Now, the rector at Otago Boys High School is He's written something about the problem with parents' approach to schools these days or something.
His concern is a widely held one, the growing expectation that schools act as social as well as educational institutions. He argues, and he would know better than most, the increasing amount of inappropriate pupil behaviour is influenced by what he calls the disintegration of the parent network. He also blames the accessibility of cell phones. Things like meeting the parents of your kids' friends, the things you might do at the school gate. Trouble is, of course, no one's at the school gate, not anymore. Certainly not once the kids are above, say, the age of 10. Now, part of me wants to argue that the world is full of people opining about the kids of today. The kids of today. People have always done that, haven't they? The world's always been going to hell in a handcart. The kids of today have always been worse off than when we were kids. Rock and roll was the end of civilization. Now it's cell phones. We used to go to school round the corner. Now the selection is a science, and so it goes. The good old days were the days when we really had it better, got it right, all was well, which of course is rubbish. But it is true that life is busy and time is precious. And I can tell you from personal experience that the best quality time I've ever spent with any of our kids was after school. Still is to some degree. That time at pick-up or when they walk in the door, that's when they talk. That's when the issues are spilt. That's when you connect more than at any other time. Some argue dinner's a key, but I think that's a bit of a bygone era, personally. But there is no doubt that schools are expecting to do too much in terms of what kids bring in that gate. Their baggage, sadly, goes well beyond the homework and whether your socks are pulled up. So the rector's words are wise. If you're not doing the little things, the after schools, the talking to other parents, making those connections, then he argues your distance from your child's influences is rapidly growing wider. And I think he's right, and good on him for saying.
I don't know about my child's influences. I just want the distance between me and my child to increase more and more. It's preferably to the point where they can't even find the house where I live. Because otherwise you've got to hear them moaning about how hard their exams are and the questions are all wrong.
NCEA, maths exam Monday, got a bit of experience in the house. A couple of the practitioners at home had sat that, got the feedback reasonably tough but okay. Tough but they walked out confident, tough but they didn't walk out in tears. Some did, and it's the same old story. Hipkins has waded in, and this is where he's called for the report, of course. And there's something going on with maths. I don't know what it is. I'm not an expert, but it was algebra last year. It's maths this year. There are too many teachers saying it doesn't correlate with what we were teaching. That's the thing that worries me. Kids crying in exams isn't new. I mean, when I was sitting exams, half the kids turned up crying anyway, and that was because they didn't want to be there, and if they did want to be there, they'd forgotten their lunch, and so it was all tears all round. That's what you did at exams. But the teachers saying this doesn't correlate with what we've been teaching strikes me as being weird, and it seems to be unique to maths. So something's going on there.
Some of the questions were the wrong colour as well.
Well, that's not on. And I wonder, in all seriousness, I do wonder. And with five kids at home who have been dealing with this NCEA business, I do wonder if there's a bit too much rote learning going on. That they sit in the class and they're expecting 1 plus 1 equals 2 in purple, and unless it turns up in an exam 1 plus 1 equals how much in purple, they're freaking out and they can't think for themselves.
I thought the call was for more rote learning.
Well, that's the problem. That's what I'm saying. There's, you know, too much rote learning, and this is what they do.
I don't even remember maths being in colour when I was at school. Were we still in black and white back then?
It was black and white, and we chipped it into a stone. Remember the stone? Yeah, we had the stone.
Yes.
Those were the days.
And you turn up to your exam, and then your chisel wasn't sharp enough.
Exactly. Those were the days, and we walked home for hours on end licking
on
the pavement.
On a barefoot horse in the snow.
And it was all right then, wasn't it?
Now, one of my monsters had an English exam yesterday, which you had the option of taking it digitally. Because she'd been practicing writing essays by hand, she decided to just do it the old analog way, pen and paper. Meanwhile, one of her friends, her computer crashed while she was... So, yeah, she started crying, I think. I think it's good, isn't it, that we torture our kids this way to get them ready for real life? Certainly computers will crash and ruin your day. That's something that they need to get used to. I don't know if we can fix Germany if we can't even fix NCEA, but somebody might be able
to. Germany's got all sorts of troubles. I think they're going to an election. The president's involved. He's a guy called Steinmeier. He's dragged in the FDP and the Greens. The FDP are they're the pro-business party. I think what you're seeing there, you were looking for a three-way between Merkel's party, the FDP, both of which, broadly speaking, would be on the same page. They're both pro-business. The Greens would appear to me to be the problem. And there's no other alternative because the original party that was in the so-called Grand Coalition said, we're not part of it, we don't want to be part of it, we got done at the election, so we're out, we'll sit in opposition. Problem is they still don't want to come into the mix, so Steinmeier's got the Greens and the FDP together to try and bang some heads to see what they can do. By way of putting a coalition together. If that doesn't happen, Merkel now favours, has publicly stated she favours going back to the polls. And the risk you run, of course, in going back to the polls is you get exactly the same result, because it's not like people's minds have been changed in the last couple of months.
You know how we were going to send Winston to North Korea to try and sort
that out? That's right,
we
were too.
Could we, after he's been there, could we send him out
good
to Germany? Because nobody can form a coalition like Winston can.
He's busy, so he's got Pike. Got to go down Pike, Korea, solve that, straight on to Germany. Fantastic.
If only we knew where he was and what he's
Where's
doing.
He gone? Incredible.
Is it possible that he's already gone down the mine and that's why we haven't seen him? He just got fed up with waiting and actually followed through on his promise and went straight. I don't know. He certainly disappeared down some dark hole somewhere. I am Glenn ZB. That was the rewrap for Wednesday. If you see Winston Peters, do let us know. And I will see you back here again tomorrow. Maybe he'll pop out of our present then.